call us to order. So thank you all commissioners for being here. This April meeting of the Independence, Riverside County Commission. So let's do a roll call.
Bruce Burke. Colin Oglesby. Cynthia Ayala. Dale Calvert.
Here.
Leanne Hernandez.
Here.
Laura Dent.
Here.
Ian Johnson.
Here.
Jesse Lugo.
He's present.
John Aiken.
Here.
Paul Smith. That's six, so we have quorum.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'd also like to do some introductions of staff, I believe, so.
Yes, thank you. First of all, I'd like to introduce our new project manager for Prop 411, Gabe Rascon, and has joined us. And Gabe is taking over for the work that had been done by Nick Germanos, and he's going to be taking some of my load off as well. So we're very pleased to have him. We also have Lindsay. Who's joined us as a public information specialist, and Lindsay, I forget your last name.
Salcido.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. We have one other announcement that brings a tear to my eye, and that is that Amanda Brown-Suela has accepted a position with the Arizona Department of Transportation, and we will be losing her, and I'm very, very saddened that she's going, but I understand that she's looking for new challenges and certainly would never want to stand in the way of professional development. So thank you for all you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amanda. We're sad to see you go, and I'm so happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's been a pleasure working with the commission, so I hope you guys are, continue your success going forward. So thank you.
I have one card for the call to audience. Oh, yep. Let me do that. Sorry about that. I just gave something. So I'm looking for an approval or a call for approval of minutes.
So moved.
Everybody? So moved. Jesse? Second?
Okay.
Thank you, Dale. And let's do, do we need to do a roll call for that?
All
in favor. Say
favor.
Aye. All not in favor? Way to go, guys. All right, call the audience. Let's get rolling on that. We've got 10 minutes on the docket, so I have one card. Does anybody else wish to be added to the call to audience?
She's filling one out right here.
Okay, great. We'll have two folks then. So we have 10 minutes on this clock, so please take 3 minutes, and we'll make space for our fellow neighbor. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. So important for us to see and hear from you and vice versa. So thank you so much to our neighbors for being here today. So first up, let's ask Isabel Doe from Menlo Park. If you would go ahead and say what you got to say. You've got 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm from Menlo Park. I was here in January of 2018 and at our last meeting, and we had requested road contract for our street on Cedar and Grande, between Grande and La Cuesta, because of the amount of traffic that's going through there. And we had been notified that in the 2026, our roads would get paved south of Congress on in the Menlo Park area. The roads were not paved. The ones north of Congress were paved. So I think it was this gentleman over here that came and talked to us. And it's already been 3 months, and I haven't seen anyone there, for the infrastructure, the water lines, because that was supposed to be on the and also the road contract, and they still haven't been present. I don't know how long it takes for someone to ask for a roller coaster, but it's been 3 months. So I think by now we should have a roller coaster on Congress or the Cedar, South Cedar, between Grande and Cuesta. The road is crumbling. The traffic is horrible. On the weekends, it's worse because we have the ATV, off-road vehicles up and down the road, going up a mountain, coming down. And, you know, it's just making our roads worse. So, you know, I'm requesting on behalf of Menlo Park that we rush this through, please. We need this done. Laura is a representative, she's the vice president of our neighborhood. And I would appreciate, Laura, if you would bring that information to us at our meeting about, you know, how long it's going to take more to put up a counter. How long more is it going to take to get our roads paved? Because, and, you know, they're crumbling. I don't know. You've been there.
Isabel, you have 15 more seconds.
Okay. You know, you need to walk those streets. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Next up, I have Beth Wilson from Pueblo de las Galinas.
Hi, yeah, we were, these are my neighbors, and we live in a campus farm neighborhood, and our street has never been repaved since it's originally been built.
77.
And I think you know about it. People have fallen. It's really pretty dangerous to traverse, you know, on foot even. And you had talked about perhaps moving us up on the schedule. And so I just wanted to ask about any progress regarding that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. So just so y'all are aware, we are listening for sure, but just based on the open meeting laws, we can't specifically respond to the requests as they're made in the call to the audience. But we will be discussing today is one of our agenda items, how to consider neighborhood requests for accelerated resurfacing. So you've definitely been heard, and thank you so much again for coming in today. So you're welcome to stay for the remainder of the meeting. If you choose to stay, that's great. And if you need to leave at any point, please just make your way out as quietly as possible. That's great. Thank you so much for engaging in the process. All right, we're all in it together. Thank you so much. All right, so let's move on to Prop 101 updates, please. Jim, that's all you.
Okay, thank you very much, Madam Chair. We have distributed the financial update for Proposition 101. Would first like to go to the top of the page where we talk about our revenues. You'll actually see that our fiscal 25 tax revenues are shown as negative dollars. Now this is not unusual. What happens is as we go through taxes, businesses particularly have the ability to appeal and be audited or ask for audits. That is what's why you see negative figures in the local tax collections for the residential and arterial streets project. You can see it's offset substantially by interest gains. So that's something that you know, we have thus far year to date seen about $286,000, a little over that in revenues. This is on a tax that is not being collected. That tax is now has now ceased to be collected. Looking down into the arterial road program, skip down here. Our total expenditures this year, a little over $4.5 million. That's largely been focused on Silver Bell Road project, which was completed earlier this year. Earlier this fiscal year, and we finished up the citywide fog seals that were started last year. We spent about just under $900,000 on that. We also have done some work downtown on arterial package number 10, which is when we repaved Stone Avenue. There have been other projects done in the downtown area, namely the Cushing Street project and design. We are right now at a point where we still anticipate another little over $6 million to be spent on that. That will likely occur beginning next fiscal year. We have a lot of work in downtown to do. A lot of it, the reason it has taken until now to start is because we have water modifications that need to go forward. All of the water plans will be finished up this summer, so we will begin to see the water work begin. But we need to be looking at the timing of that waterline work. We don't want to paralyze traffic in downtown. We have a lot of road work to do in downtown. And so, this will probably occur over the next 2 years that we finish this out. Being mindful all the time of the event cycle in downtown, beginning in the fall season with the Tucson Meet Yourself, and then continuing on through the holidays and generally kind of wrapping up with the Gem and Mineral Show. So that's kind of our high season for activities in downtown. So we try to avoid doing work during that period, or at least minimize its impact. So that's something that we're working with Tucson Water on, trying to come up with some delivery time so that their work can be done in advance of ours. The paving work will go much faster than the waterline work. It's just the nature of the business, because they have to dig up the roads, replace the waterline, connect all of the existing businesses and public buildings that are served. So that work, that underground work, will actually take quite a bit longer than the paving work when that's completed. So just wanted to let you know about that. The major project that's underway currently is Fifth Street. That we're anticipating about $28 million to be spent on that. That's more than we had programmed for. So when you look at the bottom line, we're actually running a deficit expenditure projection right now, $2.3 million, so almost $2.4 million that we'll need to find funds for and look at ways that we can trim our budget projections for the remaining projects. We did, on the Silver Bell Road, we did add some features to it that were safety features that were not covered by Prop 101. That's why you see the negative $600,000 balance on that project. It's a credit back from Prop 411 safety funds that were expended on that particular project. So that, in a nutshell, is where we at. Where we're at. We do expect completion basically in calendar year, likely 26 or 27 for the remaining our remaining Prop 101 projects. With that, be happy to answer any questions.
Yeah. So I think I heard you say that the downtown package 10, you said that fiscal year is going to start fiscal year. Was that calendar year?
Fiscal year spans from July 1 to the following June 30, and you'll be in, for instance, we are currently right now finishing up fiscal year 25.
Okay.
So fiscal year 26 will begin on July 1.
And so you were saying that some of the downtown stuff, the water's really going to start then. So we're not going to see pavement until probably next summer.
We have about another 2 years of work in downtown. Okay. So call it the end of fiscal year 27.
Can I ask a question?
I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question?
Oh, not at this time. I apologize. But if you want to write it down and pass it to Lana, then we can
capture
it.
We're certainly happy to address some questions that you might have. So, okay. All right, then we'll move on to Proposition 411. This is our financial overview of where we stand right now. In terms of the local streets portion of the, let me back up. The whole half cent sales tax to date has collected or has a balance, an accumulated balance of $215.2 million. That's inclusive of the monies that were collected, as well as or the sales taxes that were collected. Debited the costs of collection, but any interest earnings, investment earnings, that's added back into it. So that's the full balance of where we stand in terms of accumulated funds. $172.2 million of it is in the local streets, with the balance being in the Safe Streets campaign. We've got to date of the $172 million plus that has been collected, we've spent a little over $104.4 million. So about 60% of the funds collected have been expended on program expenditures. You can see the list of projects that we've paid on. Those are the fund balances, or the actual accumulated expenses. And we can speak to any of those later in the presentation if you like. But from this, I'm going to move on into a PowerPoint presentation. And we'll go through the POP 411 presentation. So in terms of the initial project list, we have 52 neighborhoods that have been approved. About 55% of the neighborhoods were dealt with in Millenfield, and just under 40% in terms of multi-layer surface treatments, and then 16% of it is in preservation work. We still have some remaining work. This is largely driven by the need to do waterline improvements in certain neighborhoods, namely the Myers, Yale Estates, and Barrio Viejo neighborhoods, where we have Tucson Water Work. We also have Limberlost Road being layered with other safety improvements, which are POP 411 safety projects. We do also have a number of small preservation projects that we're just trying to catch as we are doing preservation in the area. These are generally pretty small. Pantano Overlook is actually under contract as we speak. So these are the neighborhoods that you can see circled that are still in play. This is actually the Mission Manor neighborhood. We had repaved that with the Prop 101 program, but Tucson Water is now putting in water lines, or is preparing to put water lines in that neighborhood, and we will do the preservation work in that neighborhood after they have completed their pavement repairs. So what we'll likely do in that is do a microsurface over the entire roadway to cover up the pavement patches after they've been done. Not ideal. We wish we didn't have a water line project going through relative to our pavement, but that is something that we occasionally have to deal with. Mr. Johnson, do you have
a question? I was going to ask, I think you didn't answer my question in a minute, but the Highlands, just north of Broadway, that neighborhood, is that Rincon Heights, right?
Rincon Heights, yes.
Yeah, so that's not quite done, right?
No, we're still working on it right now.
Okay, but was it on the initial projects list?
It was not.
Oh, okay. Why that? Thank you.
Okay. All right, well, moving on into phase one. We have a lot of work that has been done. These are the projects that are currently underway. We're working in the Rolling Hills neighborhoods. Jefferson Park Monterey Edition, we've just awarded to Granite Construction. This is a project that has some waterline work in it. Tucson Water is doing a shortening of Edison from Mountain to Cherry, and we are set to repave the rest of the neighborhood and that, basically repave the area where the waterline is being done. Once that's completed, we expect to have construction starting basically about the beginning of the next fiscal year, so call it July 1. We'll probably get the contractor in there doing concrete work in advance of that. That's been awarded to Granite Construction. Ward 5, repaving package number 1, which includes Mortimer Edition, Southland Park, and part of Los Ranchitos Desert View. That's under construction with Tucson Asphalt. They expect to do the paving beginning next week. They've been working on concrete work and pre-boring for the last 2 months. We have a repaving package in Ward 5, package number 2, Southland Park and Los Ranchitos. That is currently under construction with ISX contracting. I believe they're actually in paving right now. We have our spring 2025 surface treatment campaign that is just now kicking off. We also are completing the fall 24 campaign, which we had to suspend due to really kind of poor temperature conditions at the end of the fall last year. We had a very warm winter, but the fall going into it, we had big temperature changes, so they weren't able to get much productivity. They have to have 65 degrees and rising, and if you don't hit 65 degrees until noon, but you can have an 80 degree day, but if you don't hit it until noon, it cuts your work day. So that was why we had to suspend the fall campaign and why it wasn't as productive as we had hoped. That fall campaign included the Rincon Heights neighborhood, and we're now finishing that up. We were working with the neighbors on that, in that there were some concerns. The pavement was a lot more distressed than we would have liked for that kind of a project. However, the water lines in that neighborhood still had a reasonable remaining useful life, but they were shallow in cover. So for us to have done a mill and fill project in that neighborhood, we would have likely ruptured many of the water lines. So we had to go with the multi-surface treatment for that reason. The spring 2025 treatments, we're right now working around Palavine Park in the area, I'll call it Manana Grande, kind of to the west of the Pantano Wash. As you're coming up out of that wash, the west of the Rolling Hills area, so it's, you know, call it from Old Prudence to Pantano Parkway. In that area, we're doing multi-service treatments, and we are also doing work in the area around Jesse Owen Park. That's going to be that area in there is a double chip seal that we're doing in there, and we have work going on in Rancho del Este with the spring 25 surface treatments. Fairly good sized program this year. We're covering probably 400,000 square yards of surface or roadway, which is a large program. We are continuing on in the Ward 2 and 6 repaving project, which ISX has. If you will, imagine everything north of 5th Street from Swan to Craycroft. We're covering it all. It's a large number of neighborhoods. Right now, the work is going on in Glen Heights and beginning in Carlos Terrace. Swan Way and Speedway Addition are finished. Palo Verde Cloverleaf and Cloverleaf Warslaw are finished. We'll be moving into, we are adding Camp Lowell, we are adding the Speedway Pinecrest neighborhood, and we're adding the Avondale neighborhood. So basically the area between Speedway and Pima, between Craycroft and Swan has been added into that project. So it's a large project. That will be continuing on with paving into probably October. So we're working successively through the neighborhoods. We have Ward 4 repaving going on right now extensively. We're right now in Sutton Place. I believe they're paving in Sutton Place this week. But we have Palm Grove clusters, Pine Grove, and Escalante Place all under construction currently. I went the wrong way. These are some images from some of our recent projects. I know the Amphi neighborhood, this is a good comparison of what we're looking at. We've got Enchanted Hills. This is a surface treatment project that we're finishing up right now, actually. Enchanted Hills we were partially finished with last fall, but had to finish it after it warmed up again. The Crossings, which is probably our northwesternmost subdivision. It's up actually close to the Orange Grove and Thornydale intersection. Those are all recent examples of paving work that we've done. Here's a map showing the work that we've been engaged in. Everything in green, Winter Haven, Amphi area, La Madera neighborhoods, those are all complete. The neighborhoods in blue, this is work that's in progress. So this includes the Ward 2 and 6 projects right here, and we have the Ward 4 program and Rolling Hills over here. We have finished up some work that was in the fall campaign, the fall 24 campaign. So we're looking at some work in the Vista del Rio neighborhood. We also have Indian Trails Estates that was finished. We had we're working in the Rose Hill Estates. That's, I think, pretty close to complete now, as well as the Catalina Heights area. So those are all surface treatments that were in the fall campaign that we've now finished. We do have Rincon Heights, which is right down here. That's not circled. I think it may have it on the surface treatment campaign. But we also have done work on the west side. We have the Ottumwa area. We have we did an awful lot of work in the El Rio neighborhood, we added Riverside Park and Menlo Park, the first part of Menlo Park, basically that area line. Call it. North of Congress, south of St. Mary's, and east of Silverbell. We do have another project that you heard about briefly at the call of the audience that we will be continuing on and doing work in the rest of the Menlo Park neighborhood. This is where Enchanted Hills, this is Kennedy Park here. That neighborhood was recently. These are the surface treatments that we're moving forward with. I mentioned the surface treatments to the west of, this is kind of the Mignana Grande area. This is west of Rolling Hills. That's about the prudence alignment there. We have Rancho del Este. We have a variety of neighborhoods, including Pantano Overlook. This is where Jesse Owen Park is right here. And then you've got the Palo Verde Park neighborhoods right here. This is the area where we've got the Rincon Heights project, and then you can see the Rose Hill and Peter Howell, or not Peter Howell, Rose Hill and Catalina Heights neighborhoods. The Rio Verde Vista Enclave neighborhood is here. That's been finished. We finished. This was done in the fall. This is the Saddlewood Ranch neighborhood. We've got Enchanted Hills, and we're continuing to work and now wrapping up work in the Midvale Park neighborhoods. So those are the packages that we've been working on finishing up this spring and starting in this spring.
Question: what about blue quadrants?
These blue circles?
No, the blue block. The blue blocks next to them.
Oh, I'm sorry, these blue?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, what we did with the phase one program was we overlaid the capital improvement program that Tucson Water has. So we could coordinate with them. And for instance, this is the La Madera neighborhood. When the first portion of, or the first two phases of La Madera were completed, we went ahead and did at the same time the Winter Haven neighborhood and the neighborhoods of the north of the Racquet Club. We, as the next phase in this area is going forward, we're going to actually tack on this neighborhood in here, which is basically from Palo Verde to Alvernon, from Grant to Fort Lowell. Those are the Grantland Acres and Farmington Edition neighborhoods. So those are, those we'll be doing. In fact, we are right now advertising for those. So give you an idea. And these other ones, we'll be following these in here with paving projects. So we're coordinating very heavily with Tucson Water on those. Projects that we're currently in pricing, we have, in fact, we are receiving pricing this afternoon for the Cedar Grove and Lincoln Park neighborhood in Ward 4. We have, next week, we'll be taking pricing on Hearthstone Hills and Harrison Hills. And then we have the Avondale neighborhood that we're tacking on with the Ward 2 and 6 work. And then this is the neighborhood I just mentioned to you, Farmington Edition and Grantland Acres, along with the next phase of the work with La Madera Edition. So those are all in play right now. This amounts to about $18 million worth of work that we're currently pricing right now. So you saw the overall collection amount that I identified on the summary of the accounting for Prop 411. This is how the sales taxes have been coming in. I'll note that to date in tax receipts, we've seen $168.9 million received from the sales tax. The fund balance is more like $172 million. So that includes some investment gains and takes off the cost of collection, which we do have to pay for. So the actual total amount of collections is the combination here, which I think I cited, $220 million $230 million. So in terms of Prop 411, the roadway portion of it, our contracts, pending awards, work in progress, we've got an encumbered amount of $162.1 million. The total amount that we've got in terms of fund balance, and this is actually I should have updated the slide. This is actually through 3/31/24, 12/31, actually 3/31/25, rather than 12/31/24. This is the amount that we've collected through the most recent posting, $172 million. That leaves us an unintended amount of $10 million. We have projects in the pipeline of $18 million. So just to give you an idea that we're now finally at a point where we're at the potential where we'll encumber more than we've actually collected to date, recognizing that encumbered amount, many of those projects are still going to be billed out through close to the end of the year.
Jim, have we seen any recent increases in price from the contractors or any overages in the recent months?
I'm always looking at that. What I can tell you is that in recent months, I haven't put that much out. This tranche of projects, I'll be able to report more to you on. But we have been watching. What I do is I look at a price per square yard on my mill and fill projects. And during the last fiscal year 24, we had an average of, I think, $23.58 per square yard. This year, we started our year high, as the projects, but as we've been taking in more projects, the average has dropped. So right now, we're about $24.60-ish per square yard. So it did go up about a buck a yard over year to year. Earlier in the year, we thought it was going to be worse because our early pricing was not as favorable. We saw a big jump, but the recent projects have been pretty reasonable. I think a lot of it has to do with how we assign risk for increases in costs for asphalt on small projects that go quick. I require the contractor to take the risk. on projects that are long, like the Rolling Hills and the Wards 2 and 6 project. I build into there a reserve for price volatility on asphalt, and that amounts to about $1 a square yard. So whether we use it or not is not known, but it's in the bid. So at the end, when we actually pay out, we only pay to what the adjusted prices are for asphalt if we put that index in the bids.
Okay.
So hopefully I made sense with what it's doing.
Yeah.
But
so
it's something that on the early part of the year we had large projects that had that asphalt price provision built into the price.
Okay. So it looks like revenue's up about 5%, costs are up about 5%, so it's fairly even for now.
Right, okay. Exactly. So where we are today, now this is where I think I'm maybe hitting more towards, you know, where we are in totality here with this. To date, you know, what we have resurfaced, things that are done, 281 miles, basically just under 20% of our city, our neighborhood streets. We have currently under contract, yet to be paid, 126 miles, and currently pricing 29 miles. So with the product, you know, we're now approaching our third anniversary of tax collections. We have a 10-year plan. We're 30% through the plan on July 1. We now have 31% of the roads either about to be under contract or under contract or complete. I do not anticipate, I expect to have a modest balance at the end of the fiscal year. So come July 1, that $18 million worth of projects will be accounted for in the encumbrances, and you know, we'll be comparing it to the actual collections of the fund at that point. I believe we'll be favorable. So I think we're on task. What I can tell you is that we will probably be looking at a slight metering of the projects on a going forward basis. We really hit it aggressively with the start. We didn't start our first project until we had been collecting for almost a year. So over the succeeding 2 years, we've done basically 3 years worth of work. So, or put 3 years worth of work out. So I feel pretty good about where we are velocity-wise with the project, or with the program. And I think we're in pretty good shape financially. You know, obviously, you know, we don't know what's gonna happen with the economy going forward with the, you know, with the collections. There's always a risk that we could see a recession. But with a recession, we'll probably also see a reduction in prices. So I know that was what the RTA experienced in when the Great Recession hit, was they saw a significant decline in prices. So they actually were able to get a lot of work done before the leave at the time. So,
I just have a quick question. So I was wondering about, we've got 30% of the streets, theoretically by July, we'll have 30% of the streets, 30% of the funding. Do you think that 30% we've gotten done is characteristic of the remaining 70% in the sense of difficulty in pricing? Or are we getting any low-hanging fruit in the first batch? Are we going to slow down if we start hitting these more difficult projects? Or is they pretty evenly matched?
Great question. I've been kind of thinking about that a lot myself. Is, you know, our, you know, we you know, starting with kind of the, I'll call it the worst-first approach. And so, you know, the worst projects are going to need the most treatment, the most aggressive treatment. You know, the thing that I balance that with is the fact that with our program, or going into this program, we said that 70% of our city streets, our neighborhood streets, were in very poor condition. So if you were to look at poor and very poor condition, it goes up to 80%. So we still have a lot of significant work ahead. I think we're going to be, as time passes, we'll continue to see the projects or the roads that we haven't treated yet will continue to decline until we get to them. So I think the final phase, we may see some benefit and be able to put more money into preservation at that point, which is, I think, a laudable goal. One of the things that I know we did going into Prop 411 is we did a lot of surface treatments on our bicycle network just to get the bike boulevard projects out. I think we'll probably be looking at going back into those and putting in a better treatment. But that'll be happening in the third phase, and that'll be as, you know, we'll be able to look at our budget better at that point.
Yeah, 12 years ago, it was estimated that the just for neighborhood street was $700 million. Could you give us an update on it at the next meeting, what that cost is for neighborhood streets, say, from June on forward?
From June on forward? Yeah, I could take a crack at it. I can tell you that the Prop 411 program was originally expected to deliver $590 million of revenue. Right now, if you're looking at nominal collections, and I think we'll probably exceed that. I think we'll probably be up closer to 670 is what I think we'll collect, and I think we'll be able to meet the needs. So I think that $700 million that you cited is probably pretty close. It may have been a little higher than we'll end up finding, but you know, we're doing pretty well right now, I think.
Now this way, you know, the public's always asking, you know, what's going to cost to get our neighborhood street, so...
Yeah.
12 years ago, said 700 mil. Where are we today? Say June on forward.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that. This is one of the things that I track. Tracking on a monthly basis our collections in aggregate and compare it to the contract encumbrances and our expenditures. And this flattening out right here that you'll see, oops, I'm on the wrong side. This flattening out right here, this is largely due to the fact that I held back on putting some projects out as we were going through some staff transitions, and now we've got Gabe on board, so I told Gabe hang on for the ride. He's been going to put a bunch of work out this summer, so that will pick up. You'll see in the next month, you'll pick up $18 million. So that'll take it up closer to where we're at with the blue line.
Hey, Jim. I know the city's facing some revenue challenges from the state shared part of the revenue. Is that impacting DTM and your staffing?
The state shared revenue, we get DTM is definitely negatively affected by the state share issues. We have to look at it in different buckets, if you will. You know, if you look at what happened with the general tax cuts that have come down from the state, the flat tax that clearly affected all of the local governments across the state. It has made a big impact on the city's general fund budget, but the general fund, we in DTM don't draw a lot of general fund. Most of our revenue is coming from the highway user revenue fund. We are affected by the general fund in that the general fund pays for transit. And so transit, that's going to be stressed by the general fund issues. The highway user revenue fund, that's driven by two things. Your vehicle license tax, which is value based on your vehicle. That's the only inflation influenced component of the highway user revenue fund. The other component of it is the gasoline sales tax or the gas tax, which really isn't a sales tax. It's a per gallon levy, which is 18 cents a gallon. And the in Pima County, we sold 400 million gallons of gasoline in the year 2000, and we've never matched it since. Even though our community has grown, the consumption of fuel as cars have gotten more fuel efficient, and we're seeing more electrics on the road, more hybrids on the road. They're consuming less gasoline per mile,
And so I don't think, I think this is going to be a long-term shift toward more reliance on the highway user revenue fund, which, it's a shifting that is inevitable at this point. The, what I can tell you is the highway user revenue fund doesn't grow as fast as we need it to. I think it's going to mean that we're going to continue to have to look at sales taxes to do our basic road maintenance projects in the future, because there's not a willingness to change the funding situation.
Yeah, and I'm familiar with the HERF and VLT challenges. That I think it's more, have you seen an impact on your staffing due to that, or is that due to other issues?
Well, I can tell you that over time, there's been with this change in funding, the shifting that's occurring. I mean, if you were to go back to the 1990s when they last adjusted the sales tax or the gas tax, the Highway User Revenue Fund, we were able to sell bonds against it to pay for capital projects. Now we can't maintain our arterials and our neighborhood streets. We had to have a half cent sales tax for. We don't have sufficient, that it doesn't generate sufficient funding for us to do the maintenance that we need to do. And it's been contributing to the fact that our overall condition of our roads is declining.
Right. I think I'm specifically pointing toward the ability to contract out.
Contract out? You mean in terms of for construction projects,
right,
for personnel? Yeah, I mean, the funds aren't there for us to pull projects out.
Okay. All right. I think that's what I was getting
okay
at. Thank you.
Okay. You bet.
Yeah. You talk about electric vehicles. I brought up in one of the past meetings where electric vehicles don't pay to defer funds. And there was a couple bills that ran last year, but I'm not sure what happened this year. And I did have asked a mayor council member to have the lobbyists look into it. So electric vehicles do pay, because after all, you got four tires and a wheel on the road, that you'd be paying some kind of fee into it. But if you can, you can give us an analysis how many electric vehicles actually impacts Pima County here, especially Tucson, that has depleted some of the funding that should be generated into HERF funds, so this way Tucson can receive their fair share of funds too.
Yeah, one of the things that's happening is I think the electric vehicles, that's something that's happening statewide, and I think there may be a statewide study that can help us with that. I don't think I have the resources available to determine, the number of electric vehicles that are operating in Pima County and who would affect us. I think that's something that the Arizona Department of Transportation on a statewide basis are probably better able to track. And I'm sure they're doing it on behalf of the legislature. But the one thing that I do want to point out is that electric vehicles, until we start taxing electric vehicles, they are, they have a disproportionate impact on roads. They are much heavier vehicles, and as such, they do more damage to the roadway as they're traveling the roads. And so that's something that I think at some point in time, the state's going to need to confront.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, in terms of projects that we're in development on, this is, we're getting ready to go out, and we're coming into a new fiscal year. Areas that we're going to be working on in fiscal year 26 are shown on this map. I know in Ward 2 we'll be looking at doing the Verde Vista neighborhood, Kingston Knolls, and Windsor Park. We'll be looking at the San Fernando neighborhood and the neighborhoods. This is, I believe, San Paulo. These are Tucson Water projects that are going on. We will, as Tucson Water completes their water line replacements, we'll be paving on their heels. The final phase of La Madera, which is north of Blackledge, we'll be doing that in conjunction with the call it the Cabrini neighborhood. I think it's called Granada Park is the neighborhood that we have it listed by.
will be in the Flowing Wells neighborhood, and we have a lot of work in the downtown area. We hope to have finally be able to do the long-delayed Barrio Viejo project. That's a project that Tucson Water is working on. And once they're under construction, we'll be putting the project out to bid. We have a lot of downtown area neighborhoods that we'll be working on. This will be the called Sugar Hill neighborhood. We'll be looking at the West University neighborhood. We'll be looking at going to the west of Rincon Heights and Pye Allen and Armory Park and Iron Horse neighborhood. So we'll be in those areas with Millenfield projects, and we'll be moving south in the area around the Tucson Post Office.
Yeah, I just said one thing. You mentioned this about the coming in at the end and redoing the Bike Boulevard segments. Then we're done with the sort of the heavy duty Millen, or I wish there were Millenfield. There were the chip seal, the strong chip seal. I'm just noticing that in Menlo Park, you know, they got the advanced treatment on Alameda because it was a bike boulevard, and then they went through and did the whole neighborhood this beautiful pavement. Now the worst street in the neighborhood, ironically, is the street that was the most, it was prioritized, right? And I'm just hoping that we can, like, I don't know how much it would have cost since you were already in there with all the equipment, and I know it seems like a waste to take a street you just chip sealed, heavy duty chip sealed, like a year ago, and give it the same mill and fill, but I just hate the thought that, at least in Menlo Park, that one street that's the Bike Boulevard that is the one that was prioritized is now in 10 years. It's going to be pretty rough, and the rest of the neighborhood's going to be, like, awesome. And I just hope that when you look at those other neighborhoods, like I know down, you know, West University is going to have 5th, and there's going to be 9th Street. I'm just hoping we can at least explore the possibility of doing the mill and fill on those priority streets, too, because that's where it makes the most difference for the bikes, you know, for people who are, I mean, because those are heavily used bike areas. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. Something I hope that, it, you know, even if it costs just, you know, I don't know, it's not my money, but it is sort of, but $100,000 more or something to go through and do this street, you know, it just seems like it would just be such a shame if all of our bike boulevards in the downtown area were crappy and all the other streets around them were perfect. You know, it's such a shame.
Well, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the life cycle or lifespan out of the investment that we've made. So yeah, if we did it prior to 411, we'll come back and do it at the end of 411. So we will be touching those streets. I think I actually, if you're talking about Alameda through Menlo Park, I actually am, I believe we just finished a treatment on that. So so that did get some additional treatment here, I think within the last month. And with that, we actually did go into other neighborhoods. The commission gave me the permission and authority to go ahead and where it made sense to add bike boulevards to existing projects, we went ahead and did that. So we extended to the west of the Menlo Park and the El Rio neighborhoods, Ironwood Ridge neighborhoods, to do the bike boulevards that were on Prop 407 in advance of the Prop 407 improvements. So we have a good substrate and a good road to put the improvements on top of. So we're definitely doing that on prospective bike boulevard projects. Trying to get them done is the end. Projects we've already been done. We are, in some cases, bypassing them if they're in reasonably good condition. In the area through, I tried to do that in the La Madera neighborhood, and when Tucson Water went through there and cut the pavement, they really, they did a lot of damage to the pavement, through that recently improved pavement that was Bike Boulevard. I ended up going ahead and putting that in for Millenfield. So then I will be finishing up the portions of tree that were affected in that way. So, and something that, that I'm sensitive to, we'll try to do, yeah. And it may be something that in the future I bring back to you, because, you know, if I have questions, you know, if you want to seek your authority to move forward.
Mr. Lula, you have a question? With the reference with bike lanes, especially on Broadway 5th, have the new little overpass. City's been putting concrete parking block to separate traffic pedestrian and bicyclists. What's the reason for that? Because the majority have been hit by cars. And just a matter of time, if one of those cars hit those concrete barriers, it's going to cross that median, it's going to kill somebody.
I know that that is a, I know like on the Raza, you know, that's something they installed in areas on the Raza Parkway. You know, that's not something I'm controlling. This is something that our Complete Streets Coordinating Council is working on and identifying which projects that those are being deployed on. So yeah. I don't have an answer for you on that. I know we certainly have witnessed that a lot of them have been hit. To my knowledge, we haven't had an accident. The one thing that does do is it prevents vehicles from straying into the bike lane where more vulnerable users are. So that's, I think that's the rationale for putting this in there, is to protect those more vulnerable users who are biking.
I think a better way to entice cars, you know, from crossing over, you put rudder lanes, just like you do on the highway. When you hit those little rudder lanes, be less cost effective to do so, right? That won't cause, you know, damage to vehicles on it. But the other thing is, you have that we'll say 8 foot right away for bicyclists. How are you going to sweep those areas? Because those sweepers can't get in that area.
Yeah, they do have to deploy the smaller parking lot sweepers, the tenants and things like that. I know that that's what they're using in the downtown area where we've got those protected bike lanes.
If that's the case, then I see a very poor maintenance that transportation is doing to keep those bike lanes, you know, clean from debris. And it's all over the city, so how many miles of bike lanes does Tucson have at this time?
I don't know.
Well, you know, we need to get up there because what Ian's talking about bicycles, you know, we gotta keep those bicycles safe and make sure that dedicated area is clean so this way they're not shifting into where the traffic's at.
I can't disagree with you on that. Yeah. And you know, we have a difficult time sweeping our roadways, and sweeping our bike lanes are also difficult.
Yeah. And the final question is, how many street sweepers does the city actually have to sweep our arterials and neighborhood streets?
I don't know the answer to that. I would submit to you that it's probably in the 10 to 15 range, and probably have at any given time a third of them down for maintenance. Yeah, we try to get every street swept annually and try to do the arterials more regularly than that.
And the other major problem is striping of the streets. You know, just the majority of streets, you can't even see them at nighttime. Yeah. So they need to be done not on an annual basis, most likely biannually. And especially with whatever product they use, make sure it meets code, not just for a less bid, but something that whatever paint they use on it, you know, meets a coat on it, so it has a longer lifespan on it.
Yeah, and typically we do, and everything that you're seeing us do with Prop 411 is we'll paint initially, because that's the, when you put down a fresh mat of asphalt, you can't immediately stripe it with the higher quality product. You have to do a temporary striping while the pavement cures and ages. And then about a month later, what we do is we come through with a product called thermoplastic. And that generally has a 7 to 8 year life on it. We do have a brand new paint truck at the city. And those striping that does need to be refreshed, we now have a new piece of equipment that we can get out there with. But and the older piece of equipment was, we did have maintenance challenges with it. But we've got a new truck now, so we should be getting after it more effectively in the future.
Good, thank you.
On this exhibit on these projects on phase one for 26,
yeah.
Are these all of the projects that are left in phase one, or are there some that will be carried over?
Well, we will have phase one will also extend into fiscal year 27. This only shows the mill and fill projects. Those are the ones I'm working on now. I will be doing some surface treatments as well in the fall. I haven't identified those yet. I've got a tentative list of projects, but I haven't reflected that on this map.
So we're close to having phase one finished. Once we get through.
We've done another 2 years. But this will be year two of the 3 year program.
Sorry, there's one last question on this. You mentioned that the last part of phase one is going to be a lot of potential West University and part of downtown neighborhoods.
Yep.
And I know those are neighborhoods with really old pipes and old streets and just, you know, got awful things. So at some point you're going to, and you keep talking about Millenfield, is the plan right now in Millenfield's neighborhoods, or is there a good chance that you're going to get in there and have Tucson Water say, oh, I can't do it, and then all of a sudden it's going to be a bunch of multi-service treatments again?
At this point, we have been consulting with Tucson Water, and even though, I mean, some of them have still have very old water lines in the area that they're servicing at this point. I mean, I'm hearing about water lines that were put in 1908 that they're aware of, they're not concerned with at this point. So short answer is, we're working with Tucson Water. This is the program we've presented to them. They've not raised it as an issue for us. And actually, at the end of this, if you'll let me skip ahead, one of the things that we've been doing is looking at Tucson Water. This is where they have, back up the slide. What they have is a map where they've gone out and they've used artificial intelligence and the data that they've been collecting, including the frequency of leaks, the age of the pipe, and what they've identified is the water lines that have the greatest 1%, or the worst 1% water lines, if you will, the most likely for failure. And these are the areas where where we're looking at either reconstruction projects, or we're looking at doing surface treatments. So this area right in here, this is the that area I mentioned to you, La Madera. A lot of water lines that were a little problematic. You go over into this neighborhood over here. I believe these water lines are primarily in the alley. We talked to Tucson Water. Are you prepared to do it? They said not in the next 5 years. We have other higher priorities. We'll deal with it in the alleys for now. Ultimately, they want to move it into the streets. This is the Palo Verde neighborhood, and that is one that is going to be in phase two, and that's a neighborhood that will be following their water line work. That will be about 2030. We have, where we're doing our chip seals right now, remember I told you to the west of Rolling Hills? Well, Rolling Hills is right here. This is the area that we're currently operating in right now. This is the Dietz neighborhood. This we did in about a year and a half ago. This is where we're working right now. And Tucson Water has held us back on this area in here, the Manana Grande neighborhood. And we're coordinating with them to replace the water lines and then repave over the top of it. This is the Palo Verde Park neighborhood right now that we're working in. You can see it's got a lot of bad quality water lines. That's why we're doing surface treatments in this area. They are they have the Yale Estates neighborhood part of it right in here. This is slated for reconstruction in fiscal year 27. We'll follow it with asphalt. This is the San Fernando neighborhood. This will be in fiscal year 26. We'll be following it. This is the San Paulo neighborhood. They're currently in the process of replacing the water mains right now. They'll be finished by Halloween. I'll follow it with asphalt. We have a lot of work that's anticipated in this area. This is an area we currently don't have in phase one. They are not yet prioritizing these neighborhoods yet, but in this area and through here, we are coordinating on Millenfield to follow their water line. So this is actually pretty helpful to us in knowing where their water line problems are and where we're most likely to need to do, if they're not prepared to do water line replacements that we follow up with Millenfield, then we need to look at doing surface treatments in here until they get a chance to do that. We don't want to disrupt their lines. And
Again, this is a map of the replacement areas. I did not include this in the packet. This is stuff that I was anticipating hearing from some residents about the problems with the water and why we're doing surface treatments in their neighborhood. We didn't see them this evening, but I was prepared for it. And this is the list of projects that we've got and the construction program. This is something that Tucson Water developed this table, but it was in response to our continuing dialogue with what we need to do, and when they'll be able to do the work. So,
can you share this? Can you share this with us? Is that
shareable? Yeah, it's shareable. I thought I had made copies, but apparently I didn't bring them. But yes, I can email it to you. So, and you can see we've got Barrio Hollywood in there. That's a phase two project that we'd likely be doing. Barrio Viejo down in here. This is called the Water Mod. This is where it's done. These are projects that are triggered only because of our work. The rest of it we're coordinating. I will stop this program unless there are any questions. Further questions. We'll move on to collectors. I can do that quick. Collector's program. These are the projects that we've completed. The most recent one that we've completed is Stella Road. We're in the process of completing Park Avenue. So that's been moving pretty well. These are the projects that are currently under construction. Park Avenue, I still need to do the little piece from Speedway to 2nd Street. We are, the piece from Adams to Speedway is going to get a surface treatment because it had been repaved a number of years ago. And the piece from Adams up to Fort Wall, we finished the asphalt work on that. And they're going to be, or there's adjustments and we'll be striping. These projects, Kenyon Drive, Sarnoff, 29th, and Prudence are all in the greater Rolling Hills area. This 29th and Prudence, this is to the west of Pantano and in that area where we're going to be doing chip seal and micro-surfacing around it. But these streets do not have conflict with water lines. They're collectors in the area, and they did not put water infrastructure in them. Let's see, 6th Avenue is also under construction. Tucson Water is in the process of replacing butterfly valves. They're going to change those all out. So once they're finished with that work, then we'll be going from Drexel to Valencia. We're currently pricing Calle Santa Cruz from Irvington to Valencia. Now the pricing will be due at the end of May, and we want to get that done in advance of the Irvington Road interchange work because that area, we're going to have to be dealing with detours in that area, around the Spectrum mall area there. We need to be able to provide this sort of circulation. This is the map of the projects that are now, if they're in green text, they're complete. If they're in blue text, they are either about to be bid or they are under construction. And these are the projects that we currently have in design. These typically have multiple safety components to it, so we'll be bringing 411 safety money in addition to the collection. These are projects that I've got in the hopper to do. That don't require additional safety improvements. These are going to be the next round of pavement-only projects, Greasewood and San Juan Trail, Silver Lake. This is where we stand financially in terms of where we are. The contract amount is higher than the adjusted amount because this is my estimate for the Calle Santa Cruz project. We don't yet have a price, but we're doing pretty well. Some projects where we have a lot of reconstruction of water, they're pretty high, but others, we're hitting in the between $30 and $40 a square yard,
typically on the price when we're just doing a deep mill and fill.
So, Jim, are collector streets typically more expensive than neighborhoods? We're talking 25 for
yes.
neighborhoods.
Yes, okay. They are typically more expensive. The reason is we typically go with a more aggressive treatment, well, I'll give you an example. Most of the work that you see up there, 3-inch mill and fill, with the exception of greasewood, which was a microsurface treatment.
Okay.
It had been treated previously. The others are pretty much mill and fill. The Calle Santa Cruz, that's showing an estimate of $83 a square yard. I think that's high. But what we'll be doing with that is grinding off 3 inches, putting an asphalt rubber chip down first, calling it a stress-absorbing membrane to help prevent the cracks from reflecting through and then going over the top of it with 2.5 inches of asphalt. That I'll give you more information after it's built.
Okay, so we just see more and heavier vehicles on these?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. All right, I'll get out of that one. Move on to the next one. All right, phase two. I'll click for you if you like, unless you want to get past the spectrum right here.
Good evening. My name is Peter King. I am the transportation program coordinator for DTM. Pretty much oversee pavement management. I supervise the team that is doing the inspections and helping maintain the database of the streets in Tucson. And tonight I'm going to be going through the phase two proposal for consideration. For phase two, we want to make sure there's some assumptions and considerations outlined. Phase two covers 3 years from fiscal year 27 to 29. We're assuming $60 million per year. We are assuming an annual inflation rate of 4.5%, so each year prices increase 4.5%. We are distributing the monies proportionally by ward, so based on the lower ward's local street pavement area, that proportion compared to other wards determines how much money they get. We're assuming a median cost between resurfacing and mill and overlay at $22 a square yard. So that's how we're doing our price projections. We are locking in preservation polygons for first touch only. So these are neighborhoods that are local streets and have roads that are preservable. They don't need to be reconstructed, resurfaced, and it's the first touch under this program that they're going to receive. We use the equity index, which is based from the census tract to influence the OCI. So we took our road network, overlaid it on the census tract data polygons, and where there was at least 5% overlap between those two layers, it would influence the OCI in some way. That influence would be either -2 points for a high percentile. Equity, moderate to high, would receive a -1 point. And then all the other categories for that equity index would receive no influence based on that data. And then finally, we would use inspection data, OCI data, and select the lowest OCI polygons. And we projected the OCI to the start of phase two, FY27, to make our determinations. And this was done after the equity tract influence. This slide is just showing the ward proportionality. per ward distribution, then you have the area of pavement in square yards per ward, the total, the percent of the network, local street network for that ward, and then how much money that would be in phase two that would be proportional given to that ward over the 3 years. Combining all that data together, this is our proposal for consideration. The polygons in phase two, green is first touch preservations, purple is rehabilitation, and then we've also added the bike boulevards to reflect familiarity with what was presented in the phase one map as well. This slide combines the phase two proposed data in pink with the not treated areas in gray, brown on this screen, and then approved areas under the initial phase and phase one are in blue. So basically this shows what would be remaining if phase two were proposed as is, or approved as is. Lastly, we're just showing the phase two target that we tried to reach with each ward in millions, and then what the actual phase two estimate came out to be. So the blue bar is the target, the proportionality that we determined. Orange is the actual project cost, the phase two estimates that we used to sort of build which polygons were being treated. And then green just shows the ward area. And our phase two target was 180 million. And our phase two estimate, rolling up all the polygons, was 179,880,000. So we got fairly close. And that's all I have.
Madam Chair, I'd like to just thank, first of all, Peter and Todd for their work on this. This is basically using the same selection criteria as we used on the phase one program. The lowest OCI modified by the equity and distributed based on ward proportionality, recognizing that not all wards have the same amount of streets in them. So you want to basically distribute the funds proportionately based on the size of the street. What we are looking for from you tonight is direction. If you're happy with this, let us know. What we could do is move it forward to actually developing a list of neighborhoods. But this would give us, if you're comfortable with it, this would give us the guidance to take it to the next step and start identifying those neighborhoods, getting it out to the utility companies so that those utility companies can start interacting with us. I think we're in pretty good shape with Tucson Water. We've already kind of said this is kind of what we're thinking to Tucson Water, but and they haven't reacted particularly unfavorably to it. They know it's coming. But the other utilities are out there too that we need to deal with. The gas, the electric, all of them have facilities that we need to coordinate with as well. So. Yeah, communication is a big one and it's growing. More and more we're listening to folks wanting to put fiber to home. So we'll be seeing more of our roads getting cut to install fiber in our time. We appreciate your feedback. If you have any direction for us, let us know. Again, if you're happy with it, you can give us direction to move forward and find out some of this.
Can you go back or go forward again two slides, please?
To the considerations. This right here?
No, the chart with the green.
That one?
Yeah. Explain to me again what this ward area number is.
So that's the amount of pavement that is a local street. So that's the amount of pavement that we need to be treated.
I thought I was going to make sure.
Yep.
Yes. I have a question. question. Does that take into account, like, newer parts of town? Like, say there's areas that have just been deteriorating for so long, some of the historic parts or just places that have seen more historic disinvestment. How do you navigate and integrate that here?
I would say that the equity index probably gets us closer to having that considered. It looks at households below the poverty level, demographics, access to vehicles. And I don't remember the acronym. I actually have it right here, VSI, I believe. But it takes a lot of that sort of data from the census, and it puts it into a digestible OCI decrease that gets factored in.
And I'd add that, you know, when you start talking about the newer, more recent neighborhoods, they don't have the bad pavement scores that the more disinvested neighborhoods have. So right off the bat, they're not going to be considered as rapidly. They might be considered for preservation, so we can keep the asset intact. But they typically are not scoring as poorly as the other streets that are disinvested.
So that scoring doesn't necessarily, I'm just sorry for the follow-up, it doesn't necessarily look at the proportionality of the investment, it looks at like the prioritization of projects within the wards.
With a proportionality, or yes, and within the wards we look at the more disinvested areas and try to prioritize them with that additional modification.
So I mean, I think the extreme case of what Laura was saying, if I'm guessing, is that like if Ward 2 had, you know, 30% of the streets in town, but they were all brand new, we would still keep shoveling money proportionally to them?
Well, there would be a certain amount that would probably be towards preservation just based on what was voted on. But
the answer is yes. The green bar on that graph in terms of area is just, is it a local street that is City of Tucson for maintenance, right, where that you're custodian to maintain that in, regardless of condition or the equity index scores, it's just the area. And that was used to distribute, like kind of pencil out the money distribution for that. When it came to selecting, you know, using those funds, the lowest OCI did have an influence from our Department of Equity's priority index. That there's a whole storyboard, like GIS map, explaining all the things that go into that, demographics, all of that, the vulnerability of the population. We influenced our condition index, which is the overall condition index, OCI, had that -2 for the highest and then -1 for the lowest. So we tried to flavor in, right, the vulnerability index to some degree, and which is consistent with what we did with the phase one direction from this committee. In terms of, to Ian's question, that yes, you know, if they're all newer roads, we're proportioning the money that way. At some point, if we ever get there, hey, you have nothing to do, those funds would obviously be released, but we're not in that situation because we're kind of still chasing everything we're not touching is degrading, right? It's getting worse, and there's still enough lane mileage out there to find a place to put those monies.
And preservation.
Hopefully that gets...
It seems like it
would be a really nice thing if the next phase, we really need to have a conversation about, like, does the ward proportionality still make sense, knowing that certain wards are getting down to, like, you know, getting closer to being done, and we still have probably, like, Ward 6, say, is probably going to still have a lot of roads that are old and cruddy and need more maintenance, need more repair. So I think it sounds like something we should probably know. We maybe don't need to worry about yet because we still have plenty of bad roads, but maybe next time we might have to think about it. I don't know.
And preservation in terms of square yardage costs is significantly less.
Yeah.
So you can do more preservation.
One thing I would want to just mention to kind of put this in context, remember how we were talking about the start of Prop 411
70% of our roadways were in very poor condition. Well, this takes us through year 7 of the RT, or of the Prop 411, and that should get us out of, or have us address almost all of the very poor roads that were identified in 2023 when we started the project. So we'll be at least in terms of the neighborhoods, we'll be on the cusp of moving in poor roads from the very poor roads.
The other thing I throw in is that there, when you look at the OCI ratings, it's like this is an X neighborhood. I used to look at. We talked about Rolling Hills. Most of the roads in Rolling Hills are somewhere between 60 and 70 years old. Some of them are 45, 50. But so there are those places in wards 2 and 4 also, because those are the two largest type wards. And so there is some roads that are that far, you know, that far out, even out there.
And interestingly, age doesn't necessarily always correspond to the road condition. I know that we were stunned when we did the Riverside Crossing neighborhood, which was built in 2000, but it was built in the geologic floodplain of the Rito, and the soils were bad. It was did not stand up well. So we had to get in there and do a mill and fill project in our neighborhood that had those that were less than 25 years old.
Yeah. And I think the same thing that we talked about, and you see some of the scattering of the Tucson water projects. A lot of the city was initially constructed while it was in the county. And standards for water. Now, I understand this because we own the water company on the far east side of town. But you didn't have the standards up until like the mid-70s, what we're using today on water lines. And you talked about a water line, a neighborhood with water lines that were not very, very deep. The Arizona Corporation Commission standards were not up until like 70, 75. They were moving them up in the 60s. But a lot of those water lines that are close to the surface are spread all over the city, and you can see that those problems happen all over the city. I'm not saying that they're proportionately in total volume, but they do happen all over the city.
So what are you looking for us?
I'm looking for direction. If you're comfortable with this, a motion to approve the draft map and move to finalizing the neighborhoods for consideration at your next meeting would be appreciated.
What do you think?
I do have a question for Peter.
Yeah.
In phase one, we ran into a lot of issues with utilities. Did you look at, for each of these projects, is it feasible to have this completed within the timeline? Because it looks like with phase one, we may not have them completed within the timeline due to utility problems. And I'd like to see if we've run into the same thing with some of these.
I might have to defer that to Jim a little bit, but I can tell you we did look at utilities. This is pure OCI with equity sort of pavement data telling us, these are the next polygons that have the lowest OCI that should be treated. So in terms of utility and looking,
I can add a little bit. I mean, part of the reason Jim asked me or us to start looking at a phase two was because of so many conflicts. Hey, let's get more available to start working with them and coordinating with them. So I think that process would start more after you know, what you're trying to coordinate, and then trying to get out with the utilities and turn, you know, we turn that over to our engineering teams. They would start engaging, having conversations. Here's the neighborhood areas we're focusing on, and start those coordinations, and then trying to maneuver whether it's phase one initial project or phase two. You're still kind of trying to schedule those out. It just gives you more to work with because you're kind of bottlenecking. I don't want to speak for you, Jim, but right, there's you're kind of bottlenecking with what you could do because you're way from our way from our
We've been working continuously with Tucson Water and trying to understand what their needs and issues are. I can tell you, you know, this is helpful. What I want to do is get them on or get on their program, some decision making for the area west of, or rather east of Reed Park. That's the area, you know, basically call it from Swan to Albernon, that where they have the highest number of those red water lines that are corresponding to the phase two program. So I want to get this out before them, give them, you know, maps that that they can start looking at comparing to their system needs, and so we can begin to deal with this as early as we can. Those neighborhoods will still probably be at the end of phase two when we get to them. But that's if we get it working on them right now, because they're already doing their programming for fiscal year 30.
I have a question. I missed a couple meetings, so I apologize. If this question is not appropriate for this venue, please tell me. But so specific to Ward 4, there are a couple of substantial projects going on right now. The whole Valencia thing that they're turning into an interstate, basically, I'm assuming is an RTA thing. I don't know for sure. And then they're building a gigantic National Guard facility off Rita Road, right? So my question is about, for lack of a better word, jurisdiction. So when you have two different funding sources bumping up against each other, like those military vehicles are going to tear up Rita Road, which is already in okay condition, but it's on here as well. So who pays for that? Like, how does that get worked out? And the RTA thing, like, because some of those things that are proposed here are going to bump up. I mean, physically, literally, they're going to be the same road. So how does that get paid for?
First of all, I can tell you that Prop 411 will pay for any of it because we're doing neighborhood roads, not the arterials. And the question that we were talking earlier about the funding sources and the needs, we don't have an identified source for maintaining the arterial roads once we take them into inventory. The RTA can fund improvements and expansion projects that are on the RTA plan.
Yeah.
If they're not on the RTA plan, we don't have a funding source identified for them, at least not at this point. There may be some funds once the current RTA plan completes. There may be some regional funds that would be able to be brought to bear on it, but those are fairly small dollars, and we'll probably, as the arterial network continues to decline, we're going to need to find a way to address it. I don't have the answer for that.
Yeah.
Good question.
But I will tell you that we do talk to the, in fact, we're having conversations with the military right now over a number of projects that they're interested in seeing move forward. I think you're going to see Davis Monthan transform as they begin to continue to mothball the A-10 fleet. Their mission's going to be changing, and there may be more high-tech activities out there that will bring in new development.
Can I add something? Just from the RTA standpoint, I sat on both the Citizens Committee for both projects, and I have to tell you, the city was at the RGA throughout the RGA next process and was pushing for the RGA to fund maintenance. There's been various legal opinions that's limited what the RGA should do, but the city has been looking for money from the RGA as something that's out there. It's not happening at this point. It's a
although there is a small amount of money in the package that may come out. We'll see what they come up with. They're still working.
Thank you, Joe. All right, so we have on the table, y'all, a direction or an action for this item, phase two resurfacing program. Does anybody want to make a motion?
I move with the understanding that we have a number of members who aren't here tonight, and it would sure be nice for them to get input, but also knowing that this isn't like our final word on this, I would like to move that we proceed with the current selection because it does seem to check all the boxes that we hashed out early on, the metrics and the scoring. So it seems like it's in the right sentiment, so I'd like to move it forward.
I'll second that. And I want to say, just like Ian saying, this is not a final decision, this is an interim decision. We need to keep it in mind where we're going. But their approach to this point, I'm comfortable with.
Can I have a request for Jim? I know that we're proceeding with this package that we're looking at. Something to consider in the future is maybe adding 10% more projects, something like that, to prevent any bottlenecks on proceeding if we run into a lot of utility issues.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One thing that I would suggest that we consider doing is as we move into phase three, which is by default the chocolate-colored pieces on the map, that that as we get further into the delivery of phase two, at that point in time, when we start having those obstacles, I'll report to you and seek authority to move into phase three.
Perfect.
All right, so we have a motion on the floor, seconded, right? So roll call,
yes. Colin Oglesby?
Yes.
Yes. Dale Calvert?
Here. Not here, but yes.
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Leanne Hernandez?
Yes.
Laura Dent?
Yes.
Ian Johnson?
Yes.
Jesse Lugo?
Yes.
John Aitken?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion
so
passes.
Much.
Thank you.
All right. So we're at 7:07 right now. We have three more items on the agenda. I just wanted to ask my colleagues, are you all comfortable with moving through these three? Do we want to table anything, or how do we want to move forward? We have a discussion of consideration of neighborhood requests, and then a report back on the complete streets, and then just designing the future dates.
Can we raise the temperature of the food? It's almost hang nice in here.
Oh, did it?
The temperature.
Oh, do we have control of that?
Not much.
I'd love to do the neighborhood conversation. Are you guys been hanging out?
I think we definitely need to.
And Madam Chair, I can make this quick.
Okay.
All right. Again, this is going to be a request for direction. We've had a number of consideration or questions about neighborhood requests. There are with Prop 411 program, we've been trying to work on polygons. Polygons are generally about 160 acres in size. There might be smaller if there are specific constraints, but that's pretty much what we designed around. We generally, when we go to construction, we try to group polygons, two to three of them together. The best pricing that we're seeing right now is to price out two to three polygons together. Generally, try to keep them clumped together so that a contractor can move readily from one to the next as they're progressing through the project. That seems to be the most efficient way to do it when we get the best pricing. When we're looking at the selection process, it's based on OCI, and each of the polygons have an average OCI weighted for the area. But a lot of what's done in these geographic areas may have different age. They have had different construction techniques. They have different soils underlying them within these areas. So there's a lot of variation that can happen. And so we'd like to provide the opportunity to allow citizens to make an appeal for inclusion in nearby projects. So this is the Kayal Green neighborhood. I know we've spoken with folks about that since last fall. The neighborhood, Kayal Green, is right in here. It is in your in what you just approved for phase two. But the neighbors are wishing that we can accelerate it. The reason, one of the reasons it was not in phase one is because you do have some roads in here that are in fair condition, a road in here in good condition. If we're waiting this all together, this whole area in here all together, some roads are in better shape and it raises the overall score of the neighborhood in that block. So, you know, we are appreciative of the fact that this, you know, if the neighbors are having difficulty with the roads, we ought to give them the opportunity to appeal. If they appeal, we would look at potentially coupling them with an adjoining project. So I still have to do work here, and I have to do a River Loss Road. And those are already approved. What we could do is look at coupling, as we do Limberlost Road and this neighborhood here, we could extend Limberlost Road, which was red here, in very poor condition, and pick up Calle Alegria at the same time, and couple it with this project. And that would be a very efficient way for us to deliver it, just adding this into the scope of the work. And would not significantly raise the price of the unit prices of the construction, as it's all a area that would be able to be bid consistently.
And that's road that looks like an F?
Yeah,
that would be held later.
We do that with the rest of the Palm Beach Gardens. You know, these folks have come out and have requested it. You could entertain that, and we could deliver that pretty efficiently. The other thing that we're looking at is, I don't know why that's, let me go to the slideshow that I don't get the mortgage here. So one of the ones that's kind of interesting to us is we have this neighborhood here is going to be in phase two. The rest of the area isn't in phase two. But phase two, so you pick up this whole neighborhood in here with phase two. Well, we've got this little piece of Shannon Road down here. It would be very easy for me to do this with this project. Otherwise, this is going to be at the tail end because all these roads in here are in far better shape, which will end up being in phase three. I could very easily pick up this with phase two. That would be something I would recommend that we do, just from an efficiency standpoint. So what I'm recommending is that I'm making two recommendations. First is for the neighborhood request. You know, neighborhoods or streets in very poor condition, so we wouldn't want to entertain anything that wasn't in very poor condition, which are in an area not currently scheduled for repavement due to the surrounding roads being in better condition. They may request the IOAC to have their streets resurfaced with the next nearby project. So that would be recommendation number one. Recommendation number two is where staff, where there's staff identification of an opportunity to improve an isolated roadway, like that one. Streets that are in very poor condition, which are not in an area scheduled for repavement, and are less than a quarter of a mile in total length, may be resurfaced with the nearby project. The IOAC shall be informed of this decision at their next meeting. So we want to keep you informed of all of this. With the first recommendation, the citizens would come to you, we give you direction. The second one, I would take action in informing. And if you're okay with that, I think we'll make some sense in this making the ability to move forward.
Yeah, I'm leaning toward recommendation two for the purposes of equity, because not all neighborhoods have the resources to come to our meetings. And That might create some unfair opportunities for some neighborhoods to get the treatment while others don't. So I'd like to move to approve recommendation two.
So, just from a financial...
Wait. I'm sorry. No, I think we need a second before discussion, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll second discussion before we even put a motion on the floor, yeah. According to Robert's rules, but who am I?
All right, so we have a motion and a second. Go ahead, John.
Thanks. From a money perspective, like, this obviously is an additional expense, right? So if we're dealing with a finite pot of money, and maybe we are not, where is this money going to come from? Do we have to pull it from some other package or something like that?
You know, at this point in time, I think we have enough flexibility in our funds to give. As long as we're not doing this wholesale, I think we have the flexibility to do this within the project funds that we've got available. I believe that we will find that some of our phase two projects will end up getting delayed by utilities. Rather than moving to phase three early, we could, we consider these other project requests in the aggregate.
So just to be devil's advocate, if I may, so if other neighborhoods get wind, then all they have to do is come ask us and we'll say yes, where does it stop? Like, how do we make the determination? Do we just look at from a numbers perspective, like OCI? Because everyone's going to then come, right? I mean, they won't, but I'm just thinking about that.
Well, we have limited the universe to only those neighborhoods or streets that are in very poor condition.
Okay.
So we've got that, and we will get almost all of the very poor condition streets in phase two. So we're not terribly time remote here.
Okay.
I think of the communities that have come and approached us in the past and spoken to us, with the exception of the Calle Alegria neighborhood, we've not had previous requests from projects or from neighborhoods that are not in the phase we're currently working. So I think we'll be okay.
I like phase two, the idea with phase two with staff recommending it, because the neighbors are going to come anyway, right? And so now it's just, if they happen to know a project is happening near them, then all of a sudden we have an opportunity to say, this is legitimate, we've already done this, we have a precedent for it, sort of a process. So I think we're getting both, really. I mean, I like the second one, because I think it's more proactive, but we'll certainly hear from the neighborhoods no matter what.
And then keep in mind also, we're going to do all of the streets. The intentionality around this is that everybody's going to get their streets. So I think it's just a matter of communication again, which we've had that conversation before. Neighbors need to understand that it's a 10-year project, and that the intention of this is to touch every single neighborhood street. And so, but your points are very well taken. So we have a motion on the floor. Any more conversation about it?
I like the spirit of the first recommendation, because like voters approve this initiative, people are getting engaged in the process. Like, I've seen my own neighborhood, I've seen folks come to this meeting and be able to activate around it. And I think, like we discussed earlier, the future of funding projects and infrastructure, unfortunately, is gonna come through voter-initiated efforts. And so I just feel like the language was very thoughtfully developed in recommendation one. That doesn't say we shall do this and it's like a must. It's just like this will be prioritized and considered. So I sort of just like that, just to honor the organizing work that's been happening in the community and the fact that this is, driven by the voters and not by the voters. But it seems like we're going to get the same place.
You put one back up there, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
And we're not precluded from, you started with number two. We could vote on it and then go.
Yeah. So is this an either or? Or
no, it could be both.
That was the goal, right? Both?
That's my number two.
Okay.
Number
three.
Do you want to amend your motion to include both? Or do you want to stick with your
Can I amend it?
Yeah, you think you have to withdraw it?
Yeah, I would have to withdraw it.
You can withdraw it and replace it.
Sure. Yeah, I'll withdraw and replace with implementing both.
Second. Excellent. Conversation? Great. Let's do a roll call.
Roll call. Colin Oglesby?
Yes.
Dale Calvert?
Yes.
Leanne Hernandez?
Yes.
Laura Dent?
Yes.
Ian Johnson?
Yes.
Jesse Lugo?
Yes.
And John Atkin?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you all. Thank you all so much. Thank you for this very thoughtful recommendation as well. Thank you. All right. Let's move forward. Do we have an update for the Complete Streets Coordinating Council?
I will give it to you extremely briefly. They met last week. They have discussed a letter of support for Plan Tucson. They had a presentation on the major streets and routes update that's going forward. And they have awarded their grants for the mini grant program for neighborhood improvements or neighborhood traffic measures. So that has all taken place at the Complete Streets Coordinating Council. And that is my report.
Nice. Will we get any notification of what the mini grants were?
I can provide that to you if you
would. That would be amazing. That would be interesting.
Okay.
All right, great. All right, future meeting dates, y'all, and agenda items.
Madam Chair, if I may, yes. In light of this and seeing how we have the Calle Alegría neighborhood on there, I would like to, with the approval of recommendation number one, I would like to schedule a formal consideration of doing the Calle Alegría neighborhood with the next available, or basically with when we come back and do this project right here.
Mm-hmm. Which anticipate?
That would be probably late fiscal year 26. About a year.
Okay. Cool. So you need a motion for that, or?
I'm suggesting that would be that's not agendized. What I'm suggesting that we put that on the agenda for the next meeting, consideration of the neighborhood request.
Can we also consider that other strip of road that was in the slides?
The short one?
Yes.
You don't have to, because you gave me authority to come back and tell you when I did it.
Okay. Perfect.
All right, so can we get Calle Alegría on the next agenda? And
actually, I can give you an update on that, though. It doesn't.
Okay, we can do that.
Hopefully, we're running under construction shortly after that next week.
Very good.
Perfect. Our
It's the same one. I'm sorry if I butchered it. Paseo Alegre. It's the same neighborhood that we're talking about.
Okay.
I'll get it right on the agenda.
We just didn't know if we should clarify. Thank you.
And I think I already have your petition that I'll be able to bring forward with the agenda item. So you submitted that. That's previously been presented to the commission.
So Paseo Alegre will be added to the list. And then looking at the next meeting date, where would we normally be meeting?
Well, if we're doing every other month, that'd be June. But really, up to the commission if that could be pushed to July. Looking at the rooms calendar. June 23rd, which is Monday, which is when the commission normally meets, that is not available. So we'd either have to push it to a Tuesday again or select another date.
Madam Chair, if I may, one of the questions I'd like to know, I mean, what I'd like to do is be able to bring back the comprehensive list of neighborhoods that we'd be asking for final approval on for phase two. Is that something that you can get done in 2 months, or would you need 3?
Yeah, we can do it in 2.
So we would be potentially looking at June 30th, then, if there's a room available.
Mm-hmm.
How does June 30th look for everybody?
I will be it's vacation season.
Okay. Yeah, I will say there has been times when the commission has taken extended breaks for the summer, so.
So the next one would be July?
July 7th, but if we're sticking with our fourth or third Monday, would be the 21st of July.
July 21st.
How about June 24th, Tuesday?
June 24th. It looks like the room is available at 5, so that is a possibility.
It's just a matter of, do folks want to meet in 2 months or 3 months?
Yeah, June 24th is fine, but it's more of a question if these guys will have their work ready for us.
They said they would.
Yeah. Okay.
June or July, don't.
I say July. I'll be gone all of June, so July is better for me, but
I agree with you.
Is the opposite.
July 21st? Does that work for everybody?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, let's call it then July 21st. All right, 5:30. Excellent.
I'll follow up and make sure with staff and then double check the conference availability.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
In terms of like a future item, I think you alluded to it, but and this is not like needs to be July, it could be whenever, but maybe just a conversation around like public education. I do feel like there's more we can be thinking about in terms of like this is an incredible and such a lofty effort, and it's making so much progress. And obviously there's a lot of work to do, but like just in light of, you know, how voters have been moving of late, all of the questions that are coming before voters, I think it's helpful for the electorate to know like what their decisions are making possible and how we can tell that story to the best of our abilities. So maybe we could talk about that at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that would be really cool for Mike, maybe to get on the agenda and talk a little bit about what his session is doing. Does that feel fair? That would be amazing. So we'll let
him know.
Great. All right. Well, thank you again, Amanda, for all your service to this community. You've been invaluable. Welcome on board.
Thank you.
Everybody else, thank you so much. Thank you, neighbors, for staying and witnessing. And I'll see you again. And commissioners, thank you so much. Have a wonderful summer. We'll see you in July. All right. Call it to order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.